Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Holiday Edition, Episode 81. Today we're reading Chapter 24 of the book, I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Grant Lee visited the attic again that week to see what other mysteries it might hold. Taking Mr. Brawley's advice, he had been praying about the matter, but God did not seem to be giving him a clear answer. Once in the attic, he started to open up all the boxes. Some just contained bedding and old clothes and books and papers of no interest to him. Stacked away in the far corner of the attic were some other boxes. I did not see these last time I was up here, Grant Lee said, inching his way over to the boxes and shining his flashlight on them. The first box he opened contained some boys' clothes. The second box had some baby clothes. The third box was smaller and flat and had a beautiful silk nightgown with a note attached to it, "For the love of my life, Grant." Grant Lee opened up a fourth box. It was half filled with letters and postcards. He started to close the box, but pulled out one of them. It was still sealed. The letter was addressed to Cassandra Nichols. It was from someone named Grant, as were all the other letters. Looking at the postmark, Grant Lee noticed some of them dated as far back as 14 years ago. All the letters were signed Grant, G.B., Grant B., or Special Friend. The three letters he opened mentioned him, Grant Lee. "That Grant Lee has to be me," Grant Lee concluded as he stuffed some of the letters inside his shirt. He planned on reading all of them. Grant Lee spent the next 3 days reading the letters at nights when everyone was asleep. His curiosity piqued even more as to who his dad was. "Whoever he is, he sure loves my mother and has been making some effort to let her know. But why would the letters be up in the attic unopened? Did they have a falling out?" "Grandmother, who is my dad and where is he at?" Grant Lee asked as he helped his grandmother put more candy canes on the tree. "Like I told you when you were smaller, Grant Lee, you don't need to worry about who your daddy is. We have not seen nor heard from him in years." "Grandfather, who is my daddy and where is he? Is he in jail?" he asked his grandfather. "Now why would you want to think something like that? No, he's not in jail, but he may as well be. It's Christmas time and your mama is engaged to be married to a wonderful man who will be your daddy and who will take care of you more than your real daddy ever would. You just think about the upcoming wedding and your new daddy. From now on, Paul is your daddy." "It's time for me to start getting some answers," Grant Lee thought, as he drank down the last of his eggnog. He thought about Mr. Brawley's advice to him and went to ask his mother. "Hey, Grant Lee, what's on your mind?" Cassandra asked him after he entered her room. Grant Lee handed her the first letter he found. He waited for her to finish reading it. "Where did you get this?" she asked. "It's addressed to your grandparents." "I found it in the attic among some other things," Grant Lee replied. "I have something else to show you. It's in my room." Cassandra followed her son to his room. He closed the door behind her before pulling the small box out of his closet. "Here, Mom, I believe this was for you." Cassandra eagerly pulled the cover off the box to reveal a beautiful silk nightgown in her favorite color, turquoise. She read the note, "For the love of my life, Grant." "Grant Lee, where did you get this?" "In the attic," Grant Lee answered. "You don't know anything about this?" "No, I don't. I have an idea, though. You stay right here while I speak to your grandparents." "Dad, can you read this, please?" Cassandra said, handing her father the letter. "Why didn't you tell me about this? Grant gave this to you soon after Grant Lee was born, didn't he? But you and Mom kept it hidden from me. You refused to give him a chance to prove himself." Grant Lee, not wanting to miss anything, came out of the bedroom and was now standing by the living room door. 14 years, Dad, why?" "I did it for your own good, Cassandra. He was not right for you. I wanted to cut the relationship off between you two before he broke your heart." "No, Dad," Cassandra almost shouted. "You did it because he's black, and you were embarrassed and did not want to accept it, that I got pregnant by a black man." "That's not true." "What's not true?" Natalie asked, walking in the living room from her home office where she was addressing Christmas cards to drop them in the mail. Her husband reluctantly handed her the letter. She quickly read it before blurting out, "I thought I threw this away. How did you come by it? Does it matter how I got it? And what else of Grant's have you hidden?" "Now why would we hide anything?" Natalie retorted back. "Trust me, Cassandra. What we did in keeping you two apart was for your own good." "It couldn't have been. What about Grant Lee? You've cut him off from his own father, his own flesh and blood," Cassandra said. "Look, Cassandra," Natalie said in a more controlled voice, "you will be getting married in a few days to a wonderful person. Paul will be a great father to Grant Lee. They both get along fine. There's no need for you to complicate things. Paul is more than willing to pick up where Grant failed." "Failed? How can you say that when you never even gave him a chance? I have something else to show you," Cassandra said. Grant Lee hid behind the wall as his mother went upstairs. She returned with a small flat box. Grant crept up to the living room door again, where he heard her speaking. "Why didn't I get this?" she asked, pulling the nightgown out of the box. "It's from Grant. How long have you had this hidden, mother? And were you both in on this?" she said, looking from one face to the other. "I believe Grant has been trying to keep in touch, but you somehow did something with the mail, such as hiding them. Why, mother? Why, father? What kind of we did it for your own good, Cassandra?" "I'm sick and tired of hearing for my own good, for my own good. What kind of Christians are you anyway? And you call yourself a pastor, and you a pastor's wife?" Cassandra grabbed up the box. "Brace yourselves, because there may not be a wedding," she said, storming out the living room in time to see Grant Lee hurrying up the stairs two at a time. "Grant Lee, wait up," she called. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, If you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thank you once again for listening, and may God bless you until next time.